Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, Vice Chair of the International Sustainability Standards Board, and I'm really delighted to be joined today for a very special podcast edition by my colleague and friend, Linda Maison-Hutter, who's Vice Chair of the International Accounting Standards Board. So firstly, perhaps it's good to think about why we've got this special podcast edition, and it's because we just concluded our first joint board meeting here in London, where we discussed together the feedback that the ISSB received on our agenda consultation on future priorities, specifically the feedback that related to a potential project on integration and reporting. And we also discussed a paper on connectivity in our work. And that was an interesting one because we didn't actually ask people for feedback on connectivity, but we received plenty of views on what people thought about connectivity, which we thought was important to discuss. And I think, as one of our board members said, the fact that we got that feedback when we didn't even ask a question probably told us just how important it is to everybody. So just to give you a reminder, the ISSB is currently reviewing all of the feedback that we've received on our agenda consultation. And so this was a special meeting, though, because the feedback on these topics is indeed relevant to both boards. And that gave us a fantastic opportunity to have the first ever joint board meeting. I think from my perspective, hopefully Linda agrees, it was a great meeting, a really rich discussion. It wasn't a decision-making meeting because we were hearing and making sure we understood the feedback that we received for our future decision-making. More on the meeting shortly, but firstly, Linda, maybe related to today's discussion is some of the work that the IASB had already started before the ISSB was even born. And maybe you could remind the listeners of that sort of background.
Well, I'm happy to do that, Sue, although I will remind everybody that I wasn't on the IASB at the time it was started, but I was involved in it. So, but before I go into that, yeah, I thought it was a great session, and I was really happy that we did it. I think it was a great first session, although if it had been a decision-making meeting, it might have been a little bit more contentious. So I think we got a good practice session. Anyway, let me share some context. So there is a practice statement called Management Commentary, and the first version was put out in 2010. And then a few years ago, the ISSB started a project to update that. Now, they were very clear in setting the objective, and here's the language that they used. First of all, they wanted to develop a comprehensive, clear, and structured framework, but they also wanted to build on innovations that had occurred in narrative reporting since the original practice statement was issued. And they noted that there were shortcomings in practice where people really weren't highlighting the things in a management commentary that they should. So they wanted to also target, you know, some guidance to help improve that. And there was also good recognition that the time frame that is associated with management commentary typically is longer in outlook. So the financial statements are as of the reporting date. But the management commentary typically includes what we call forward-looking information or assumptions, because that's how management tells their story in management commentary. So the timing of the consultation on that exposure draft was in 2021, right around the time the IFRS Foundation trustees were considering establishing the ISSB. So the IASB consultation anticipated the creation of the ISSB and actually included a question with regard to that. Now, the feedback was supportive, but there were quite widespread calls for the ISSB and the IASB to work together on any revisions of the management commentary project. And I think that was largely because many people view that the management commentary could be a place for them to include some of their sustainability-related financial disclosures. In any event, we decided to pause at that point, and we'll wait, and we're waiting to see what would happen as things have developed. Now, another relevant consideration is the IFRS Foundation taking over responsibility for the integrated reporting framework in August 2022. Sue, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. It's actually a bit ironic. I was on the IASB when that
was
published. So it was switching roles. But yes, integrated reporting framework. So we inherited or took responsibility for this really important piece of intellectual property as a result of the consolidation with the Value Reporting Foundation in 2022, which was sort of part of the creation of the ISSB. And the integrated reporting framework is a bit different to, say, the SASB standards, which we also inherited, because both boards benefit from adding the integrated reporting framework and that sort of rich heritage it comes with to the IFRS Foundation resources. So the integrated reporting framework was developed in 2013 and it was revised in 2021. And it's quite widely used in practice. It's used by companies in over 70 jurisdictions around the world. And it's very much a sort of living tool that's embedded in current reporting practice. What's the integrated reporting framework do? It's designed to really help companies communicate holistically about value creation to investors. So it's actually also interesting that even before the consolidation, you know, we knew all about the integrated reporting framework and it was actually already influencing work at the IFRS Foundation. So on the IASB side, actually, the integrated reporting framework had already been an important source of inspiration for that work on the management commentary exposure draft. And since the consolidation on the ISSB side, the integrated reporting framework has informed some really key aspects of IFRS S1. And I think for me, the poster child for that is the whole objective of IFRS S1, which is all about how sustainability-related risks and opportunities and the ecosystem in which a company operates creates risks and opportunities for an entity's prospects. That whole sort of drafting and language and thinking came from the integrated reporting framework. So it's really at the heart of the work of the ISSB already. So that's the sort of document itself, if you like. Also, a really another important effect of the consolidation of the Value Reporting Foundation is that we now have a new advisory body, the International Integrated Reporting and Connectivity Council, which provides advice to the ISSB, the IASB, and indeed the trustees to help us think about, connectivity and reporting more generally and the requirements of the IASB and the ISSB, and also make sure that the IFRS Foundation can promote a coherent and connected package to jurisdictions. And I think an important thing also was how we responded to all of this as part of the consolidation. So maybe, Linda, perhaps you could share a little bit about how that the integrated reporting and connectivity team we now have has been set up, you know, as a result of the consolidation to start thinking more about integrated reporting.
Sure, I'd love to do that. And I think it's great that you brought it up that it's a joint tool, because in fact both boards are keenly engaged in terms of looking at the integrated reporting framework, and it's a great tool. And first and foremost, we want to make sure we're encouraging people to use it as a great tool. We're engaging with companies from around the world that actually use the framework. We're explaining how it can help and the role that it still plays as we move on as a foundation. Now, one of the important things from my perspective when I joined the foundation was getting to know more about integrated reporting and the framework, as I hadn't actually in my history spent a lot of time with that. I'm sad to say it's not widely used in Canada. There are some really excellent reporting companies that do use it, and actually I was just starting to engage with them to learn more about it. And then lo and behold, I ended up moving to London. There you go. Now, the ISB also really appreciated the work that was done by the staff to compare the management commentary guidance with the integrated reporting framework. We did that last year, and we wanted to see where the two were similar and overlapped, but also where there were gaps. And as it turns out, there are actually much more similarity than there were gaps, and that's something that will come up in the IASB's discussions going forward, is how can we build on that? How can we bring those two together? Now, importantly to note, one of the things I also learned is that there's a mapping tool focused on how to apply the integrated reporting framework with IFRS S1 and 2, which I think is fantastic. It's focused on encouraging companies to include S1 and S2 information in their integrated reports. Now, another key aspect of integrated reporting is the process of integrated thinking, making sure a company isn't working in silos, which often happens when departments are so busy and they're doing things, they do their own work and they forget to be connected. There's that word again, connection, connectivity. New case studies about how companies are doing this or are actually involved are available, and they're very interesting. Now, important to note here, both the chairs of the IASB and ISSB have made it clear, as do Sue and I, that the ongoing use of integrated reporting frameworks is encouraged. It's a great tool for helping companies communicate to investors. Now, the next aspect of this discussion is that word I just mentioned, connectivity, which is different to integration or reporting and will remain at the heart of what we do. So, Sue, do you want to share how we are already working together?
Sure, and I might actually pause for a second and really focus on this difference in, you know, integration and reporting and connectivity, mm-hmm. because, you know, those listening, please go and listen to the board meeting. I think it was an interesting discussion in my unbiased opinion. But one of the real benefits of the discussion was I think it really made this clear distinction.
Yes.
Integration and reporting is a bit about a particular way of reporting, mm-hmm. using, for example, management commentary, the integrated reporting framework, the way you communicate to investors. Connectivity is about how we work together.
Exactly.
And how information in the financial statements connects with information
exactly.
in sustainability-related financial disclosures. So they're two sort of distinct things. And I think the headline is that connectivity is really about everything that we do in the work at the foundation now. And it really is the case that right from the start, the IASB and the ISSB have been working together. We might have just had our first joint meeting, but there's been all sorts of connectivity going on right from the start. And we're going to work in a connected way, you know, whether we're working on joint projects or not. It's just something we think about all of the time now. Now, why do we care so much about connectivity? For me, it's really because we want to make sure that when we write our standards, we are writing standards that work well together, that are complementary, and that when you use our standards together, it results in better general purpose financial reporting that supports better investment decisions. So that's a sort of consequence of how we work together. And how do we achieve that? We do that by ensuring that we have really good connections in our processes through information sharing and sharing technical staff so that we have good connections in the products that we produce with shared concepts, shared wording, and complementary requirements. So, for example, many of the concepts that you'll see in IFRS S1 and IFRS S2 are actually taken from the IFRS accounting standards. You know, it starts with the definition of materiality. We use exactly the same definition of materiality as our friends at the IASB. And we ask for explanations in how sustainability risks and opportunities are affecting the financial statements. So we're creating these connections, and that's something we do all of the time. Anyway, so let's move on to the consultation and how we came to have this joint meeting. So hopefully, as many will know, last year the ISSB did a consultation on our future work plan. We consulted on what we should do for the next 2 years and which projects we should focus on and what we should prioritise. And in that consultation, we set out four potential projects. Three of them were very much sustainability type projects, like should we do some more work on biodiversity? But there was a fourth project which was slightly different in nature. Should the two boards have a project, or sorry, should the ISSB have a project on further integration and reporting? And if so, how and should we work with the IASB? And we are, of course, busy considering all of the feedback that we've received on this consultation. We've been doing that since November last year. And at this meeting, it was a great opportunity to focus on the feedback we got on this fourth potential project. And we did that at a joint meeting because, in fact, the feedback is interesting for both boards, for us making our decisions on agenda consultation and for the IASB. And working out what to do next on that management commentary project that you said you'd paused to hear this sort of feedback.
Exactly. So we were anxious too.
That's right. So great opportunity to catch up. So Linda, do you want to run through what we heard in the feedback on this potential integration and reporting project?
Yes, it was absolutely fascinating to read the papers and then have the discussion. And it was very clear that there were different understandings as to what this project might include. So some thought that integrating information would mean a single report, perhaps through developing some sort of corporate reporting framework. Now, others were more thinking that it would be developing some sort of conceptual framework that sets out the fundamental principles that underpin the work of both boards. Others actually equated it to connectivity between the two boards. And so we've talked about that and how important it is to distinguish between integration and reporting and connectivity. I like to think of integration and reporting as what we're trying to do, and connectivity is how we achieve it. So that's kind of how I think about it. And finally, there are those that see it as either promoting integrated reporting on the basis of the integrated reporting framework or working on the management commentary project together. And we've already discussed a little bit about that. Some saw it as a long-term project. So even if we started it, it would only get started within your two-year time frame, Sue. And yet others thought it as foundational. And by foundational, what I read into that was you need to do it right away because you need it to get on with ISSB application, et cetera. So there was a distinct difference there. So at the meeting, we discussed the context of this feedback and the differing views that were presented. Now, it was really interesting to me and helpful, actually, to see how members of both boards, they'd read the same words, they'd read the comments, but they placed different levels of importance or differing context around the comments. And I think it was great that we could share that information.
Oh, that was super interesting.
It was incredibly interesting. And the board was very good at articulating, you know, all the board members really talked to each other. It was fantastic. All in all, the discussion really helped me, and I hope others, better absorb how some of the messages fit together and how others were really in contrast.
Yeah, so it was really interesting to see what this potential project would mean to different stakeholders. And we'd sort of intentionally not prescribed what we meant by integration and reporting because partly we were interested to understand the different perspectives that people had. I think for me, the next really interesting part of the feedback over and above what the project might be was the feedback that we got on prioritization. And so maybe just to take a little bit of a step back here, it's always really important as standard setters when you get agenda consultation feedback to not just get feedback on what would be a good project to do, but what's a priority project, because we have limited resources. Our stakeholders can only cope with so much change in financial reporting. And so prioritization is always important. And for the ISSB, it's perhaps even more fundamentally important because at the moment we have IFRS S1, general requirements, and then a specific set of disclosures about climate, and then we're waiting to do more. Okay. And so one of the really important things we wanted to understand in the feedback was how important is it to our stakeholders that we do more detailed standard setting work on particular sustainability topics, or to work on something more broad, such as integration and reporting. And so we discussed a lot about that. So what did we hear? We heard that we had mixed feedback, unsurprisingly, but approximately a quarter ranked integration and reporting as a higher priority than the three sustainability projects in our agenda consultation. Another quarter said it is an important project, but they didn't rank it higher or lower than all three of the other potential projects. So they were sort of silent on that. Approximately a half indicated that it was a lower priority, or they didn't comment on this topic, but asked the ISSB actually to work on other things. So implicitly, they were saying it's not as important a priority for us as the sustainability work, for example, that the ISSB might do. And really important to me was within that group, two-thirds of the investors who responded to our consultation said that. So two-thirds of our investors said actually integration and reporting is not specifically a higher priority for them. And overall market feedback indicated that IFRS S1 and S2 needs time for implementation and that should be a priority. And I think one other thing I would say is it was really a conversation about when, not if. So I think it is important. Lots of people said it's important, but then there's the question of now or later. But moving on to the other topic that we said that we discussed, Linda, people also shared their views on connectivity. So do you want to comment on the views that we heard there?
Absolutely. And I think it was noted at the meeting that the ISSB didn't specifically ask for feedback on connectivity in the consultation, but it was great to see this that was so important to stakeholders that they shared some insights as well, which we discussed at the meeting. And I also thought, and I give kudos to our staff, that it was great that they picked up the notion that, look, this connectivity is coming through all of the comment letters. Let's do a paper on that. And they did that second paper, which was great. So it's clear agreement that connectivity is vitally important. That is 100% clear. However, how you do it was the focus of some of the other some comments, because people equated connectivity with different things, and I think that was clear as well. Now, areas of agreement. Some stakeholders highlighted areas they thought the ISSB and IASB could collaborate on, including the IASB's climate-related risks in the financial statement projects. Tick, we are, okay. The IASB's future intangibles project. Can't tick, but we will, okay. And the IASB's work on pollutant pricing mechanisms. I think there's a little collaboration going on behind the scenes as the staff do the initial research. And then there are also ideas put forward for areas where the development of educational materials, guidance, or clarifications on various topics could be helpful, and we should be connected in that regard. So that brings us on to the discussion today. So, Sue, what were your key takeaways from the meeting?
So firstly, I think it was great to see real commonality in views of board members, but everybody expressing it in their own way from their different mm-hmm. perspectives. That was something that really struck me. And I really liked also the fact that on connectivity, you know, we had spontaneous examples shared by many board members of how much connectivity is going on. So that was something that was important for me. But more fundamentally in terms of the actual feedback, I think real recognition of legacy, that we were discussing integration and reporting because of the legacy of the integrated reporting community and over a decade advocating that financial statements and sustainability information needs to be within the same house really came through. And so I think there was a collective appreciation for all that's happened in that community for their leadership and vision and advice. And continuing to look at that community to show how good integration and reporting can be achieved through existing tools, and a real confirmation from the board members that we still want to encourage the use of the integrated reporting framework and indeed the benefits of integrated thinking, which we recognised in S1 already. I think the other thing that really struck me was that we weren't talking about, you know, is integrated reporting important or not? It really is a question of urgency and prioritisation. And many stakeholders really were saying to us, look, we really need to focus on getting the sustainability-related disclosures right for the ISSB to focus on helping us with that as a first priority. And an acknowledgement, I think, implicitly that stakeholders already have great tools that help them with integrated reporting, such as the integrated reporting framework, but indeed management commentary from the IASB side, and that you can use IFRS S1 and S2 and the IFRS accounting standards to provide the information that supports that. Yeah. So a lot's already been done. And I think another really important thing was, I think there was a real acknowledgement from the board overall that integration and reporting is important. And a number of board members, I think, really articulated it well by saying, look, we're on a really important big new journey here. Towards the, you know, ultimate vision of something, and that this might need to be undertaken in phases. And phase one is about making sure we've got the right high-quality information and standards to underpin the start of that journey. But that's enough from me. What did you take away from it, Linda?
Oh, my list is long, too, so let me get started. So one of the first things and I think I actually said at the meeting, that we have different starting points for the IASB and the ISSB because we're at very different states. The IASB has existed for quite a while and has a whole legacy of projects. The ISSB is brand spanking new and it's exciting. And as you said, Sue, you've really only got two standards and you've got so much more you really need to focus on. One of the great comments made by one of the board members was there's two sovereign boards under one foundation. And what you meant by this is there's two independent boards who have due process requirements, who need to be independent boards and need to make their decisions. And yet, we're under one foundation, and we need to be able to be aligned and work together. Aha, connectivity again. There's that shared recognition of how vitally important it is that we do work together seamlessly. And then I had an aha moment because I'm spending a lot of time working on communications from the IASB side, that we actually just need to be better at communicating what goes on behind the scenes, because we work together a lot, but that might not be obvious externally. It's sort of like, well, of course we do, but we're not saying anything about it, so people can't see it. We learned that connectivity is not a standalone project, but part of our DNA on how we operate and everything we do. And connectivity will look different for different kinds of projects. Some may require much greater connectivity, like the climate-related financial statement uncertainties, because we really need to make sure we're consistent and coherent with what you've done. But others would just mean we need to touch base and make sure we aren't using words differently than you use words. We aren't inadvertently doing something that we shouldn't. And one of the things we are looking at, for instance, there is IES1. You embedded certain things from IES1 in S1, but now we're porting IES1 into our new standard IFRS 18. So we had to take a look and see if that was causing any problems. So ultimately, I'll say it again, one of the takeaways is our goal is coherent, consistent, and connected disclosures that support better investment decisions. So fundamentally, I was happy to see agreement on how vitally important it is for the two birds to work together. There was widespread agreement on that. And I think it's important to note that the foundation was very strategic, setting it up so that the two boards have a unique ability to look at the overall picture of information provided to investors, and connectivity is at the heart of this. And I think we clearly talked about the fact that the focus needs to be on outcomes. And I say outcomes in big, bold cap letters. Outcomes are what really matter, and so our connectivity helps us focus on those desired outcomes and ensure that we are doing our work in a way that leads to those aligned outcomes. So a great meeting and food for thought for our ongoing discussion. So Sue, maybe you can wind it up by telling us what the next steps for both boards might look like.
Sure. So the most immediate next step in terms of the topics that we were discussing is that we are going to have a conversation with our IRCC that I was talking about earlier on, our council, who are also looking at the feedback that we received, the papers that we shared with the board, and are going to give us their thoughts on that feedback, which we will then also feed into the considerations for both boards going forward. So the expert advice will be really helpful. So I mentioned that this meeting we had this week wasn't a decision-making meeting, but it's setting us up for future decision-making meetings. So for the IESSB, that will be the feedback that we had, and the conversations will inform our continuing discussions and the decisions that we will make on our agenda priorities to inform our work plan, which we plan to agree in the first half this year. From the IASB side, you're going to go away and discuss and make decisions on the future direction of your management commentary project. And so that's important. And I think just overall, we're just going to continue to make sure that we work well together, regardless of the decisions on these projects, just more generally. And I think it was really the last thing I'd reflect on is that, you know, this whole one foundation ethos that we're working on at the IFRS Foundation was something that we all really felt this week. I think everybody enjoyed
absolutely,
you know, the buzz in the office.
Exactly.
and having the two boards together on the board table for the first time. It was a great energy and enthusiasm in the office, and hopefully the start of even more closer collaboration going forward. So something to look forward to. And I think that's it for this week, and thanks for listening.